Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. Morning. It is September 24th. I don't know where the hell fall came from, but fall fell on us like a ton of daggone bricks. It was warm every day during Virgo season, and then the Libra's band came in, and the whole weather pattern got messed up. They all wishy-washy. One day it's cold, next day it's warm, just like a damn Libra. Anyhow, welcome to this Saturday. We are 2 weeks removed from our 10th anniversary. This is the longest relationship I've ever had in my life. That's a different story for a different time. But we are 2 weeks removed away from that, and we're looking forward to that. That is October the 6th, and it promises to be something special, and that's what it is. The show today is aptly named Everything Done in the Dark. From the Trump lawsuit filed on Wednesday by Letitia James to the Celtics coach and his consensual sexual relationship with a member of the Boston Celtics organization, female, by the way. Hey, look, in the day and age, you got to be clear about who's doing what with whom. It has just been one of those weeks, and I'm thinking that it was dark enough, and then I get the news just last night that a personal friend passed away unexpectedly yesterday. So it's been a hell of a week, for real, for real. There's a funeral today I need to go to directly after the show, and then, you know, dealing with that news as well. The folks at the funeral today are also friends of her, so it's going to be crazy. But, you know, that is a part of life, and I was just having a discussion the other day. We're now in that spectrum, or that timing of our lives where, you know, more and more of that's going to happen because we're getting older. And, you know, when you get old, people pass away. You know, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your friends, one of those type situations. But Thomas Berry is on with us this morning. What's going on, Brother Berry? What's happening?
Oh, man, chilling, man. You know what? I feel your pain, my condolences to you for your losses.
Thank you, man.
You know, I've been having that similar situation. Had a family member who lost his life a couple weeks ago, and they just had his funeral on Tuesday. And I got the word from my mom yesterday that my dad one of his closest friends just passed away yesterday. So it is that season. Mm. We're at that age. And guess what? We're not mortal, but it's also the beautiful side of life, too. You run your race, and hey, one day it's over.
Right. Yep. And God willing, the creek don't rise. You pass the baton to somebody who is worthy enough to carry it on. You know what I'm saying? So, man, look, you and I spoke in length about the Celtics situation. Now, this, right, I was confused, right? And you said a number of people have been. I thought that he and Nia Long were married. Come to find out, they're just engaged. Now, I need y'all to understand something. This is not to say that I agree or support what the brother has allegedly done, but they've been engaged for 10 years. Who the hell does that? What part of the game is that? Who do you stay engaged to for 10 years? Brother Barry?
Oh, man.
Would you be engaged to somebody for 10 years?
I don't think I would be engaged for 10 years. However, we always talk about this and this, the new playing field that we have here. That's kind of how it goes, Brother Lee. You know, I'm pretty sure in his situation, I never seen him publicly talk about the engagement, but I saw Ms. Long, and she said she wasn't in a rush to get married. 10 years don't seem like a rush to me. You know, I mean, she said three, maybe four, but 10? Nah,
you would be engaged for 3-4 years?
I mean,
that's
in the first three, I would say, bro. Oh, I'm saying, listen, no, not engaged for 3 or 4 years. I'm saying if you're in a relationship after 3 or 4 years, you get married. I automatically assume in certain situations, us living together, us traveling around the world, us having mutual bills, et cetera, right? You know, those things where you are cohabitating in a sense outside of the bedroom, that puts you in an engagement pattern set for marriage. However, in this situation, it does not seem like it was the case. Oh, and your child has special needs, by the way.
Okay, so let me clean some of this up, because I'm getting deep in now, right? So I had to check my facts. You know, I got a little side note. So the facts that I'm getting now is and are, they started dating in 2010. The child was born in 2011. They actually officially got engaged in 2015. So it's been a 7-year engagement. Still, dog, who in the hell are you sitting and being like, yeah, we getting married. Like, I mean, because check it out. You know, we black. So, you know, you going to the Thanksgiving, you going to the Christmas, like, you know, grandma and them looking at you like, yo, what was that? Oh, yeah, we getting married. Well, when the hell are you getting married? You know, I'm about to die. So I likely like to see your ass go down the aisle before I pass on. So what y'all doing? Like, seriously, like, what's going on here? Y'all been getting married for the past 4 years. They didn't have, it's year 5, year 6, year 7. What the hell? You know what I'm saying? So all that pressure, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how you deal with all that pressure. That's a whole lot of pressure. Because Thanksgiving and Christmas are on the calendar every year. You don't skip a Thanksgiving. You don't skip a Christmas. They're on the calendar every year. And every year, you got to sit across from Big Mama in there and deal with this crap. You doing that for 5, 6 years? Really, dog? That, look, you better than me. You much better than me. You know what I mean? But, hey different strokes for different folks. And obviously it was some different strokes. He went off on the one little honey bit. You know what I mean? Honey dip, I'm sorry. And do something. Like, somebody got to get sick. And saw a tweet by saying, dude had Nia Long cheating on her. He must not be serious. Oh, he was serious. She wasn't serious. You know what I'm saying? He's serious about moving on with his life and finding somebody. I'm saying potentially, because I don't know the exact details. But he was serious about moving on with his life, finding somebody that wanted to move on too. She's sitting on the law talking about, well, you know, if it comes down to it. Like, but you know, do we not talk about those stories enough? Sometimes it's not always us. Sometimes it really is them. I got a project. I need to talk to you sidebar. I got a project I just thought about. That just sparked the thought about a project. But yeah, sometimes it is them. You know what I mean? But do you think a lot of sisters are open to hearing that is sometimes them?
Well, I think that a lot of times the way we look at relationships, we don't. I think what happens in relationships is that both sides of the equation feel like they can pull the fire alarm in the crowded building, and whatever the significant other does, they can blame them. Never mind the fact that you pulled the fire alarm, it's just the fact, it's the way the other person should respond. And I think that we've gotten that in our society because we really don't look at how it impacts others. And, you know, when I was hearing this story, what I was thinking, Brother Lee, was I was like, well, hey, you know, I can see the kind of stress with this man being an NBA coach, long season. They went deep into the playoffs. His first year as a coach, stressful environment. I'm pretty sure, you know, whoever it was that he had the affair with, they possibly had some type of closeness built on some of the things that he was struggling with as a new head coach. And with that situation, that young man, you know how it goes. You lean on someone you ain't got no business leaning on, and next thing you know, you're doing a horizontal poker. And, you know, not to blame his fiance, without knowing the full story, but we're human beings, and proximity in relationships is everything. And so sometimes we don't look at the proximity. I know Nia just said she just moved out to Boston, but I don't know exactly what was going on and transpiring during that moment while he was doing the infidelity, you know?
That's a good point about leaning on folks. Have you ever been in a situation with someone that you worked with before? Because I have. I know that once I was not in a managerial position, but the other two times I was in a managerial position. Now, the last time the young lady did not work for me, the other time that I was in a managerial position, actually didn't work for me either at the time, but one of them wound up working for me later. And it was three at the first spot. You know, the more I keep thinking about this, the more I keep adding on, but it was three at the first spot. And none of them worked for me at the time. One of them eventually did work later on. And then, like I said, the second go around, I was just an employee. I was employee. The last go around, I was a manager, but the young lady didn't work for me. So have you ever been in that situation where you worked with someone that you had a relationship with?
I have. And I can tell you, from my experience, I can tell you, man, in that situation, frustrated, venting to this coworker about a situation with my ex, and hey, you know, not knowing why you're venting to these folks, like once again, it's pulling that fire alarm in a crowded building and not knowing how other people are going to respond. I'm venting to a woman that was already, according to someone else, another coworker, after they found out about our situation, said, oh, she was already plotting on you from the gate. And you telling her about the problems, she already was like, hey, I'm open. And I got invited to her house, like, the next day after I was venting my issues. I wasn't venting to get on her. However, I mean, brother, she was a 10. And, you know, when you're stressed out and you're not thinking clear, you know, you get to thinking with your lower half and not your upper half. And, hey, I swung for the fences.
She was already partnered. Bro, I didn't know that was – because, you know, the old adage about don't shit where you eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first broaching of that for me was actually in the military. And I remember hearing cats talk about, you know, they were working. Because I was a small arms instructor, right? So you guns, right. Ammo, you get people coming through all the time. Boom. So, you know, I heard cats talking like, man, it was a woman. She was shooting and, you know, one thing led to another. But, yo, who does that, right? So my first tour, very short lived, I was nothing. Second tour, longer, 2 years, nothing. And more than likely nothing because I wasn't paying attention. Not because nothing, because there was really nothing, right? But my third tour, when I got to Alabama, and I don't know what happened. 94, nothing. 95, 96. Like I had women running up on me like, hey, how you doing? You know, I love your class. Yada, 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 yada. Give me a call. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? The first time it happened, I was like, okay. Second time it happened, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is real. Like, this is real. And I'm like, yo, what is going on? You know what I'm saying? But I'm very cautious. In a situation like that. I was very cautious around military women. I had two very bad experiences around military. Now, they did not directly involve me. However, two times I was in the circumstance of very bad happenings with military women. So I really stayed away from military women. Most of my dating, most of my relationships, whatever, was more often than not, civilian women, you know, because I was extremely cautious around military women, dog. And I thought that a lot of them took on that DC, which I also later found out is also prevalent in Atlanta mindset of, you know, I get paid just like you get paid, so who the hell are you? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what does that have to do with
that's
this?
A, you know,
in this male, female. Right. Well, yeah, but.
It's universal now.
But, you know, yeah, it's universal now, right. But then it was like, you know, in addition to that, it was not only I get paid just like you get paid. I know exactly how much money you make. Because, you know, that chart is hard set. There's no variation. Depending on how many stripes, bars, or whatever you got on your shoulder, that's how much you get paid. And, you know, you can Google that right now, how much someone gets paid in the military. Mm-hmm. And there's no difference. Everybody gets paid the same amount of money. There's a slight difference because of time and grade, time and service, but it's slight. You know what I'm saying? You can get a generic understanding of how much money people make. So, anyway. I was fortunate that none of those situations blew up on me. However, one of the young ladies was really affected by it. And, you know, she shared with me later, she was like, yo, I had to quit that job because I was really going to hurt somebody. I was like, what you mean? She was like, yo, you just don't understand how much shit they used to talk about you, about, you know, you this, you that, you ain't this, you ain't that, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't care. She said, and I know it didn't affect you, but from someone who was dealing with you that really was into you, trying to keep face, a straight face amongst these people that were talking trash about you day in and day out was very difficult. And I just couldn't do it. I had to bungee. And I was like, okay. But she left, and then she came back. But she did leave for a while. She went back to the industry that she was in before, and she didn't like that. She was like, yeah, that was better, so she actually did come back. And I was happy for her and proud of her for doing that. But I had no idea, man. But, you know, I understand the stress and the leaning on people that are very familiar with what you're going through day in, day out. I think there's a sense of comfortability that comes with that because, you know, they get you, right? In your head, they get you. She gets it. He gets it. You know what I'm saying? He gets it. She gets it. They understand. You know exactly what I'm going through because you understand the lingo. You understand the travel requirements. You know, if someone isn't in that same field or around that field for a long time, then it's like there's always a disconnect, which isn't bad, but in those stressful times when you're trying to take a team or whatever the team is, doesn't necessarily have to be a sporting franchise, any team, when you're trying to take your team from zero to hero or from, hell, seven to hero, because they ain't won nothing in a minute, or they haven't produced like they used to produce in a minute, you know, and you understand that it is a very tough fan base, again, that could be your boss, your boss's boss, or it could literally be a fan base, if it's a sporting team, that you have to get out there and produce. If not, then they're going to cut your ass, too. You know, you're going to get fired, too. The coaching carousel, everybody knows about the coaching carousel, you know. Mm-hmm. So here you are out here struggling, trying to keep everything together, trying to keep everybody happy and move forward in a very positive manner. But the entire time, you're walking on literal eggshells, you know what I'm saying? Because if you step a little too hard and that team starts to turn the wrong way, it's like, well, the coach's fault. No, you got to go.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? We already got somebody like you to take your spot. Right.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things I think that happens in these situations, right? Once you start talking about relationships inside of the building, let me tell you something, man. You know how it is with men. It's a competitive sport. Even if a man got another woman, if he wants that other woman, if you sleep with her, oh, man, he mad about that. He was at home, you know, thinking about how he was going to get that too. Or if he had a chance,
right.
What he would do. And then, you know, you in a sport where nothing but men. So you got to be in a building with that mentality. The second thing is he's in a racist city like Boston. His mentality, I don't know. He's Nigerian. I'm not sure how versed he is with American history, especially when it comes to race. And I have to speculate because we don't know much. So I'm saying this as speculation. But by the response of the team and the media, I'm under the assumption that the woman that he slept with was a white woman. Not only was she white, but she was somebody else's wife that was on the team that works for the organization.
Right.
And so with that being said, yes, they had another coach in waiting. They didn't want him already to be on the squad, but he's kind of first-year coach. He did the impossible. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. It's one of the 48 laws of power. They say never outshine the master. Well, guess who his boss is? The former coach of the Boston Celtics, who could never get them that far. He steps in the first year, and he outshines the master. I'm not going to say consciously, but subconsciously, there's a little bit of envy here. And so for everything that I saw at the press conference, everything I've heard, I feel like, you know, honestly, and I talked to a good friend of mine who's a therapist, and she stated to me, she said, well, I don't understand as human beings why this is such a big story. Usually, I know we have that saying in our community, you don't eat where you shit, but we're the only community that has that logic, brotherly. We kind of got these euphemisms that kind of don't make sense because the majority of people meet their significant other or the person that they're sleeping with at two places, either their job or at school. Now, why are we the only community telling people not to meet people at work or meet people at school, but that's where you meet the people you usually going to have sex with? The other side of it is you got two human beings. While we're focusing on him and his relationship with Nia Long, what was going on with her and her husband? And if it's a consensual relationship and she was consenting, it wouldn't matter to me. I know that they'll say, well, he's in leadership. He's a part of the company. You know, he could be considered as her superior. But all men and women can attest to this, no matter what your job position is, when it comes to intimacy, everybody's on level. Because that person that you're laying with, that's producing that sensation that makes you want to keep coming back to them, they have their hooks into you, and you got your hooks into them. So it is mutual. There is no big I, little U's when it comes to people who are consenting to have a sexual relationship multiple times.
Now, you think she's a white woman, though?
I got out of that.
You think she was? Because, you know, I saw the picture, and you were like, yo, that's not her. Like, they just grabbing pictures of people just posting stuff. And I'm like, I thought that was her. You're like, nah, man, this came out today, and that's not even her. Like, oh, damn, they put the sister on blast, because it was the sister they put a picture of. They put the sister on blast, and it wasn't even the sister. Can you imagine her going home and explaining to whomever's at home for her? Like, yo, yeah, that wasn't me. Like, I see your ass on USA Today and the New York Times. Like, yeah, but that wasn't me. Like, I ain't nothing to do with this. So, now I agree with you. Like, I would add church as well. Believe I would add church.
Oh, church. Oh, yeah.
To that. Yeah,
like
yeah.
A dog.
Work.
Like
school,
a dog.
Church. Yeah. Oh, yeah. True that, right? Especially if you're up in there 3-4 times a week. Oh. I would definitely add that to the mix. I would definitely add that to the mix. Hey, man, I'm just keeping it real. You know what I mean? Like, stuff happens, man. And you're talking about two adults whom, for whatever their reasons, were vested in other people but still looking for something that was missing. And this is the part that I need everybody to understand. You can be vested in somebody else, but missing something. And I'm not saying that you should search outside to find whatever it is. Listen, no, I'm not saying that. So calm your brakes, calm yourself, cool your jets, pump the brakes. That's where I'm going. But I am saying that as people, we have needs. And those needs are going to be filled. Now, if you can communicate and get through to your partner that you have needs and they are not meeting your needs, and they then recognize that, okay, you're right, let me pivot, let me get back to not being as so centered on myself and get back to being about us and doing the business and work about us, then you can bridge that gap and you can move on. Some people need to be slapped in the face. Some people, no matter how many times you said it, no matter how you say it, just ain't going to get it until you do something crazy or what is perceived to be crazy. And then like, oh, okay, that's what you were saying. Oh, yes, mofo. And, you know, there are folks out here that can work through situations like that and press on. It's a whole lot of folks out here that can do that. Have you all not seen the Black Love series? I mean, most of these folks have gone through some real things, be it sexual trauma slash cheating, drug abuse, drug addiction, money, all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But they have held to one another and they've moved on. Their commitment to one another has been bigger than those momentary lapses and what some would perceive as better judgment, right? And it's very much possible if you're willing. It's not possible when I believe one party is still focused on the facade of, I don't care what life brings, you should have never done that to me. Well, okay, well, I did that to you, because you didn't fill this pot for me. And I asked you to fill this pot several times. What did you think I was going to do? If I'm hungry, you know, I saw this in one of the videos on Facebook. Cause one of the ways I get ready for the show, when I get up in the morning, I usually flip through Facebook just to get my mind right. Because, you know, there's some crazy stuff on there, make me laugh, make me – it calms me down, to be honest. I saw one of the videos on Facebook, and this young lady, and I don't know if she's a psychiatrist or a sociologist, relationship coach, I don't know. But I've seen her on several videos, and I'm really digging her. And she's like, it's like women control access to food in the home. They have the key to the refrigerator. Now, what they're saying is you can't eat here, nor can you eat anyplace else. But I don't want you. But I don't want you to eat anyplace else. Right? You know what I'm saying? So you can't eat here, right? And I don't want you to eat anyplace else. But I know you need to eat in order to survive. I know you need to eat in order to survive. What do you think people are going to do if people are hungry and they need to eat? And you're telling them that they can't eat at home because you're not giving them the key to the refrigerator. And then you tell them, not only do I not want you to eat at home, I don't want you to eat anyplace else. But I know that you need to eat in order to survive. What do you think they're going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Women test brothers. They test men. In my humble opinion, it's the senseless tests that really spill out into everybody being harmed on the back end. Because let's face it, and we don't know. And I want to purposes. I don't know if Mia was holding, but when we look at proximity, she just moved to Boston just a few months ago. He's been in Boston. It's an 82-game season. She's in L.A. That means that they have to take flights to see each other, et cetera, et cetera. There's some loneliness that takes place, and he's a human being. She may not necessarily say she put a lock on the freezer, per se.
Right.
But, brother, he was a long way from that restaurant, okay? And so you start.
Oh, okay, good, thank you. We're using the refrigerator analogy as her personal private space. Okay, thank you. Okay, because I was like, I've seen refrigerators with locks on it from back in the day, but I didn't think they made them no more. So I was like, why are they starving the baby? I thought to myself. I'm glad I listened to it in different context. I was like, who starves the baby? And, you know, okay, so what we're talking about here is Miss Long and her boo thing.
Let's not blame her too much.
That's right.
Because I think what happens is we get into the people and we don't get into actual real-life scenarios. A real-life scenario is a man and a woman in stressful situations, minus their spouse, spending time with someone of the opposite sex where there's some level of attraction. That pressure busts pipes usually most times. Some talked about, some is not talked about. But none of us is above approach when it comes to this because we all have needs and temptations.
Well, I can say this, and I know this might be a part of my bonding, the way I bond, but I've never cheated. I don't cheat. I don't cheat.
Oh, you need to grow up.
I don't cheat because I have rarely ever cared enough about a person to give them the impression that it was them and only them. You know, almost all my relationships have been situated. When I'm with you, we together. But when we not together and we ain't making no plans to be together real soon, we not together. I mean, everything else seemed stupid because you can't follow them. I mean, and I also need to put out there that I have never been in a relationship that I didn't get cheated on. So, if you are a particular
stop that. How could you get cheated on if you've always given the impression that when we together, when we ain't. How is someone cheating?
So the couple of times that, well, you know, marriage, you understand, I've been married a couple of times. Both of those were cheating relationships. And, you know, so if the agreement becomes in time, hey, would you like it to be just us for a long time or for whatever long? And I say, yeah, it still eventually ended in a cheating situation. And not no hypothetical, you looking or texting, because that wasn't really heavy back then. It was hard to text on the pager and stuff. But just the idea that when I say goodnight and you say goodnight, you leave and go somewhere else and say hello. You don't go. You say you go home, but you don't. Just period. Or you say you're there and you're not. It's not. It's never. You know, they hate you. They don't want you to feel bad. It was never one of them ugly situations where you walk in and the girl is in your house or in your bed or in that, you know, nothing like that. They all were kind enough to be, you know, on the down low with it. The problem
Rasha, I want you to go back. I want you to go back where you started, then you pivoted from it. You said you can't follow them. You started down that path and then you pivoted. I want you to continue down that path if you can.
Well, how you build trust. If you don't already have, if you're not trust oriented, and that's a huge thing. Most people don't understand. Once you're bonding when you're young, your primary bonds get fucked up. You don't necessarily become trust oriented. So you gotta choose. Hey, folks gonna be folks, and you let it roll like that. Whatever it is, if they gonna do right, they gonna do right. If not, not. Or you're going to be checking on them, calling them, hiring private investigators, having friends become friends with them on their Facebook account, and then that friend gives you the password and surname to that account so you can go in and look at that kind of stupid shit. You become unhealthily attached to somebody because you asking them to fulfill some role that they can't do. They just a whole nother human. They not going to fill the void. And so I try to make sure I err on the side of, you know, folks going to do what they going to do, man. Like, for real, you can, they'll cheat in the bathroom at the restaurant for the party you throw at them for them. You understand? They'll cheat at the hospital, in the back closet when y'all going to go visit your sick mother. They'll be like, oh boy, with what's her name, and move the lady in under the guises of home health care, and mess around and put you in the basement and be living with them upstairs. You know what I'm saying?
Who is that sister?
Hey, they'll pull a Schwarzenegger on you, baby. They'll pull a Schwarzenegger on you and have them a lineage of children with the help.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they can do all that, and I concur. This is what I think, and this is what's so amazing about our society when it comes to this thing called sex. We could see our son become a daughter, our daughter become a son. We can call people by pronouns where they are them and they. However, when men or women say, I can't operate in monogamy. I want to be a part of a polyandry, polygamous relationship. That's where we say, stop the music. This isn't right.
And this is not my ride. I want to get off.
Right, I want to get off. But everything else, you're on board for. And
this was killing me. They've been on that ride. This was killing me.
Well, no.
We on that ride.
Well,
they on that ride, and they don't even know they bought a ticket to the ride.
Well, I say they're on a ride probably privately, and that's why we see the cheating happen the way that it does. Because two things I feel like why people cheat. Three things. First thing is I feel like people who are chasing their dreams, they don't have time for infidelity. Mm. People who with deferred dreams, they always have time for infidelity. The largest group of people who
Ooh.
Cheat are normally unemployed or underemployed people. That's the largest
Wow.
group.
Can you
they
hit
know
them again
it all
with that? Hit them again. Damn.
So,
damn, Barry. What you say now,
so,
Barry?
I'm just saying, you know, hey, underemployed or unemployed, those are the largest group of cheaters. So you have to look at it and start there. People who are not chasing their dreams. Their dreams are in deferment. The second group of people, I agree with the bonding aspect. I do believe that some things happen because some folks are just, they have wounds that have not healed, and a lot of infidelity comes from either sexual molestation by young boys, or I mean, from that's happened to young boys or young girls, which makes people hypersexual. We don't talk about that at all, especially when it comes to the alphabet people. We can't even bring that conversation up, right? And last but not least, the other side of what makes people cheat more than anything else is the lack of the significant other paying attention to the cues that are needed with your significant other. As I stated before, Sister Rashi got on, Brother Lee, we pull the fire alarm in the crowded building to our significant other, and we blame them for how they respond when they're running, when they think it's a fire.
Mm-hmm.
We don't listen. We don't communicate. We talk at people. And then we get upset when they say, okay, I've had enough talking. Somebody else presents a shoulder to lean on. And before you know it, her face, his face is in between that other person's lap. How'd they get there? Like you didn't have anything to do with it when you were deciding to ignore the conversation of, hey, I have a need. I have an itch. Right? I need you to scratch this. So we have to take a look at all three of those phases, and we have to really assess when we're dealing with people, where do they fall in any of those phases? Are they happy with their lives? Have they had some type of traumatic experience? Are you listening to what they're telling you?
Isn't that the bigger issue, listening to what other people are saying and believing them? Seriously, like,
and believe it. Say it again, Lee.
And believe it, because if I'm saying to you that I want or need something, and every time I say this to you, you're dismissive of it or you gloss over it because you're looking more toward the fulfillment of your wants or needs, you know, that frustration is going to bubble up eventually, because that want or need didn't go away from me. It got put on the back burner by you. But it's still burning hot, front and center for me.
But this is what's killing
me.
We talking like we, I just need y'all to understand, we discussing it in the refrigerator terms, I guess, of what y'all started out with. It seems like a lot of what y'all orienting to is physical copulation, interpersonal relation type stuff. And I'm trying to get y'all to understand that there should be no room. That slice of attention that other person got, there should have been no space for that in that capacity. And if it was, you should have turned immediately to your partner and say, I like that. I like her. Stop playing the manipulation games. Now, what do I mean by that? When you don't explicitly let it be known what your need is, whatever it is, y'all, whatever it is, I'm hungry, I'm horny, it ain't that many needs, we all humans, it's like five of them, I'm scared, you understand? All of them needs, for one, are supposed to be met by you. And when you involve another person, it should not be whether they want to or not. It should be because they want to. And when they don't want to, it should not be a slight against them of them not following up with your needs. It should just be that one time of all the times you're going to offer that your needs have to be met by you, the individual. Now, if you decide the best way to meet those needs is in the with the another person's attention, that is your character. That has absolutely, positively nothing to do with the other person, especially if you were honest and said what happened. Now, when you move on from that and you told them, I'm horny and I don't get what I need from you, I think I like this lady around the corner. If she don't respond to that, then go to the lady around the corner. But you were honest. You didn't. She didn't find out about the lady. She didn't find out later about the lady. You told her about the lady, and she had an opportunity to do whatever she was going to do about the 100% honest thing you told her. That's what we get. That's what we when you get an adult relationship.
Hold on. You said that it had nothing to do with her. It is all about your character. That's a contradiction,
right?
Because if you told her, I speak directly to me, my second wife, we had an issue, and I was like, yo, look, we need to fix this. If we can't fix this, I'm telling you, and I told her it was going to get resolved by somebody else. She chose not to even address it. When I went and resolved it from somebody else, she got attitude. Why are you mad? What you mad about? I told you directly. If you didn't fix it, it was going to be fixed because it needed
to be fixed. Well,
you're
not in the wrong. He's in the wrong then. She did what she was going to do when you told her.
But action is action.
No action is action. Her non-response was exactly what she wanted. So you gave her what she was looking for, period. Now, look here. But you told her, though, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Whether you told her after it had already happened or you told her before.
No, I told her before.
You told her.
I told her before.
Then you were in the right.
I told
her. She was in the wrong.
Okay,
I don't need y'all to hear when y'all getting y'all needs met and the other person has no idea. You haven't been honest enough with that other person to tell them that there is some other person who's even that you're considering. Or that they're, you understand, you don't give them an option to respond. They have to come in the afterstroke after you have already begun to get those needs met.
Well, Rashi. I would say
Hold on, Thomas. Let me finish the point because I think I'm going to go where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
And I need everybody to be clear on this. I'm confused about what you're saying, Rashi. And give me a second. Let me say what I need to say, then you can come back in. What I'm hearing you say is, because I made that choice to deal with someone else to get that need met, that spoke to my character and had nothing to do with her. Let me finish. What I'm saying to you is that's bullshit because I clearly told her this is what's happening or not happening. This is what I need. And if you don't do that, if we don't do something about this, and it didn't have to be a whole 10, but God dang, let's at least start climbing the ladder a little bit, then, you know, there was going to be consequences. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I need your help to not do that. I'm like, yo, for real, like, this is a need for me. And she comes, like I said, it got handled. She comes back with answer, like, what you mad about? I clearly gave you plenty of opportunity. We had discussion upon discussion about, yo, I'm saying to you, yo, I need help. I need you to be present. You know what I mean? But, again, she took exception because, in my opinion, fuck my needs. It was all about her. And you may not have missed this point, but I made this point earlier. You know what I'm saying? With the all about her, it's like, how could her stance, in my opinion, was, how could you do that to me? Never once looking at it from my perspective of, okay, how could you do that to me? You know what I mean? Because I'm telling her, like, yo, you're not doing what I need you to do. How could you do that to me? She wasn't worried about that. All she was worried about, how could I do whatever I did to her? You know what I'm saying? And that's bullshit.
So now here's the deal. So now you want to ask me, why did that speak to your character? And I would like to put up I would like to postulate two ideas with you. One, when you give ultimatums in a relationship, you force that other person to do something. They have to either, you know, go opposite the thing you tell him, ignore it, or change in the way that you say change in order to alleviate the stress. Those are the three options, right?
Correct.
But you're giving her an ultimatum, as in, this is my need, and you're going to have to do something about it. And I'm telling you that that is wrong. Period. I don't know, it sounds crazy, but that's wrong. You don't tell nobody how to shape-shift their life in order to accommodate a need that you may even shift and change in time. And then when it shifts and changes, and you tell them to shift and change with that need. Okay, the second thing I wanted to...
Go ahead. Finish that, and I'll come back to the first point. Ooh, you got me good. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The second thing is there was another move beyond getting your needs met by another individual. There was another move. It involved other people, but not in a sexual capacity. It involved counselors. It involved y'all's family members understanding that y'all's marriage is in a particularly touchy spot, so that they can invite y'all together to things, to uplift the marriage, so that they can come around and have dinner with y'all at dinner parties, so that they can know that there was a young marriage that was struggling and support y'all the way the marriage unit is supposed to be supported by a community in the village it was formed under. It was two families that merged, not two individuals that found each other. See, I understand what you're saying, Lee. You told this motherfucking bitch you needed your dick sucked, and she didn't get on her knees the way you told her to. But that's okay, because she knew when she met you that there were going to be times when she needed to be subservient, and she refused. And so when you get, you know, when you get people who won't hear your personal character proclivities and they won't get according to your plan, you have to go on to someone else. Now, here's the problem. I say you should have divorced her as soon as you knew you told her you was going to have sex with somebody else. Divorce her right there. She didn't do nothing about it. Divorce her right there. Don't play with no more games. Then start again with somebody else. Do not bring another person into no fucked up ass union. Do some personal cleansing, and then come on back again so you can give that next person that you're teasing and playing with on the side, give them an honest chance to get to know you, love you, and possibly she'll get on her knees when you say, get low.
I'm going to push you one more time because I need to jump in to do this point, then you got the floor, I promise you. So the issue that I have with what you said, you can't tell a person, you can't give them an ultimatum to change up their life, that's bullshit, and I'll tell you why. Because the standard, be it right, wrong, or indifferent, the standard is marriage. Marriage makes you change who you are. Marriage says you can't go out like you used to, you can't be whomever you want to, you got to be home at a certain hour, you can't do this, you can't do that. That is a total change in your life. That is the standard. So that's not true. I'll leave it at that. Go ahead, Tom. Say what you guys say.
So I want to say a couple things. I think the first thing is I think communication is key. And I think when someone is talking to you and with you, you should be able to understand what they're saying. So I honestly don't believe there's anything wrong with a husband communicating with his wife. These are my needs, and if I don't get these needs met, this is what I am prone to do. As a couple, because that's what you do when you go to counseling, right? You sit down and you talk and you say what the issue is, right? And you try to find a resolution, right? So you're saying this minus the third party in the room, and you're saying this to your significant other. Now, there's some relationships, and this is why I disagree. There's some relationships where wives will say, you know, Lee, that's not what I'm going to do, but if that's what you got to go do, hey, you go ahead and do it. These are the parameters for what you can do, and let it be done. You can't say because he communicated and he said exactly what he was going to do it speaks to integrity or a lack of integrity on his part, because it was no conspiracy. He spoke his mind. He said, this is what's going to be. If I don't get this, this is what I'm about to do next. And, hey, it's on
yeah,
her.
His marriage was done. His marriage was broken. Listen,
well,
it
no,
was
no,
over.
Marriage,
it
okay,
was over.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay,
and
let me
instead
let me
of just saying, okay, I'm sorry, our bad, no worries, it's over,
well,
click,
well,
then move
well,
on to the,
well,
and give this next person a chance. No.
Well, I disagree with that. I think that at that point when he communicated that to his significant other, the marriage was not over. That was a chance
mm-hmm.
to have a whole dialogue about, hey,
mm-hmm.
this is what my significant other desires. This is what my significant other wants. And how do we work on making this happen?
Did she
like,
have
like,
that
the
dialogue?
The idea. Well,
wait.
When he gave her. Well, hold on a second. Wait, hold on. Because I want to make sure I finish my point. Because he gave integrity in the room when he had that conversation, him stating this is what's going to happen next. Whatever happens after that, she already had a road map down the yellow brick road. That's already on her. The problem that we have in society, and it goes back to what you're saying, it's, oh, you can't expect other people to necessarily do this because this is what you want. Well, damn. If we're in a mutual relationship, not only does my body belong to you, but your body belongs to
mm-hmm.
me. And no, not every time is it going to be that way. But damn it,
not every time.
It should be more than
every now and again. Right.
What you're
okay,
going
Lee,
to do,
break.
You should not be, if that's not what you're going to do, then you shouldn't be joining in unions of any sort. You need to be an individual. And
okay.
so if that's what that person wants to do, or if they don't want to be an individual, they say, you know what, Lee, I love all the companionship. I love everything else. Man, I'm just not going to give you no head. But, hey, if you can find a sister to give you head and she can keep it on the hush and this is not going to destroy our relationship or it's not going to embarrass me, go ahead, brother, get your sides blown off.
When you try to broker a subject with your loved one, soulmate, life mate, and they won't continue down and they won't even discuss it, let alone change, you can't get them to keep talking about it until a consensus can be made for that change, then the marriage is done. Get you done. Why can't nobody hear that? Lee, when you and her was unable to talk, when you told her and she couldn't even keep talking about it like you said earlier, and she kept treating it like it was a non-thing, your marriage was
mm-hmm.
over. And your job
mm-hmm.
was to go downtown and file the papers to free yourself. And you give yourself 6 months. Okay, you a man. Fuck it. Three or four weeks. And then
3 or 4 weeks, there you go. Yeah, 3 days while you bullshit, but I'm listening.
Pull
you
your
know.
Stomach in, buy you a couple of new shirts and a new cologne.
Hey, I done lost weight. You stop that shit.
Get
I done
your
lost
shit
weight.
Out of her house.
I ain't gotta pull the stomach in no more.
Get your shit out of her house and put it in that little bachelor pad.
Woo!
Dust yourself
Whoa, stop,
out
stop, stop,
and
stop,
get on
stop.
Out there
Let's
and spin with all that. If you don't come on, I'ma fuck somebody else. Go on. Get the fuck.
Hold on.
Fuck
Rush,
to your
Rush,
to your third leg fall off. Because honestly, vindictively telling me what you about to do if I don't do something else is a guaranteed result of what you try. You understand? You're gonna get what you think you're gonna get. You're gonna get just
Rashi,
that. But I need
Rashi,
you to
let's
hear
be clear.
It was over. It was over.
Let's be clear.
And you were told
Let's
no,
be clear. That was my house.
We know her to act right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase it. Pack up all her shit and get her in her apartment.
There you go.
Redo your house.
Right.
Redo your house then so that it look like it's a bachelor house. And then same shit. Somebody got to go.
But, yeah, so anyhow, I definitely understand where you're coming from, but I disagree as well. I agree with Thomas. I think that was an opportunity for us to have a different conversation and open up the idea of a pivot in the relationship where, you know, we may have gone into it open-eyed and bushy-tailed, but now that we're in it, it's like, okay, there has to be some, and I'm about to say the C word, ladies, don't die on me. There has to be some compromise. And it can't all be about It can't all be about you. It can't all, everything fall exactly the way you want it to fall. And again, it never come or it never breaks my way. You know what I'm saying? It has to be a compromise. That I, you know, it's not an issue or a situation where it's total greed and, you know, I want, and I never give. And it can't be the same from her perspective either. You know what I mean? Take, but never damn give. And, you know, no one said that this was about fellatio. But I love the analogy because it's a very good point, a very good analogy. But whatever the issue was, you know what I mean, be it serious or heavy in your opinion or not, it was a matter of a need for me. And as Brother Barry said eloquently, and I love the Brother Barry, your body belongs to me, my body belongs to you. We got to be able to, you know, again, it don't got to be all the time, but you say, oh, something got to get. Now, if it was something like totally off the Richter and just ill, I would have sat back and, it's the Virgo in me, I would have sat back and be like, yeah, you're right. I'm asking a little bit too much. I'll figure it out. But something that was in tune to what most people would consider norm, come on, Shelby. Like, come on, Shelby. Hold on. Let me finish. And I've been asked, well, did you have the conversation? Absolutely. And, you know, there are certain things that I accepted and respected as your boyfriend that you did or did not do. But as your husband, nah, we got to chill that. We got to kill that I don't do this list as your husband and as my wife. Like, you know, as my wife, you hit me over the head, but, yo, I need you to do this and you blah, blah, blah. Okay. You know, that's not my thing, but that, baby, that's what you need, and I'll do my best to make it happen. You know, I've been having some conversations, and young ladies like, yo, I'm very adventurous, and I want to skydive. Yo, as your boyfriend? Yeah, no, Lee ain't skydiving. But as your husband, is this something that you really start to get into and you want to do it like every 3 months or whatever? Yeah, eventually I'm going to skydive. I'm going to skydive eventually. You know, that's, hey, if that's your thing and it's really your thing, then I need to share in at least one of those memories. And you know, it's like, look, dog, this ain't me, but, hey, I'll take one on the chin for the team. And, you know, I don't know how many people are willing to take one, male or female, how many are willing to take one on the chin for the team. It's a lot of folks whom are very selfish. You know, it really is all about them. And I saw Saladin yesterday, by the way. Saladin's been on the show a couple of times, professor from Rutgers. We've had him on a couple of times. His specialty is talking about U.S. presidency, so on and so forth. Well, he had a talk down in Georgetown, and one of the things during the talk he brought up was how people understand that pride goes before fall, right? And in my thought, that's what it was. Like, your ego is going to kill our relationship, and there's no place for ego in a relationship, be it sports or any other type of relationship. Egos kill opportunity. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, it is what it is. Kevin Hart did a talk about him and Dwayne Johnson, and he was saying The Rock, a.k.a. The Rock, or better known as The Rock. And he was saying how when they do a film together, there's no egos involved. He doesn't care who produces the film. He doesn't care who. But it's all about the opportunity. So he'll call The Rock and be like, yo, me and my team were sitting down, we got a plan. You, oh, of course I'll do it. You know, hey, man, we'll produce it. How about you all do it? Oh, absolutely. So now his company gets a portion, my company gets their portion. He'll call me, he's like, bro, look, I got this idea. Of course, Dwayne, I'll do it. Bet. And hey, why don't your company do this, that, and third? Okay, fine. And you know, I'll do this, that. Okay, cool. But there's no egos involved. if the egos were there, the opportunities wouldn't be as abundant. Because they dropped the ego, everybody's winning. You know, I saw a clip, again, I was saying how I flipped through Facebook. I saw a clip this morning about the opening of the Straight Outta Compton movie, right? When the gang, they were throwing up gang signs and the gang member hopped on the bus and he was telling them kids, like, you know, don't ever throw up gang signs on the bus. What the fuck are you thinking about? You know, people are, this is real out here in these streets. You know, what y'all need to be doing is banging those books. You know what I'm saying? But not only did I think about that, because that was a very positive lesson in that, you know what I'm saying? Old head wasn't so old, but he was older than the young kids on the bus, taking them young bucks like, yo, look, I don't want you doing this. I want you staying in the books and getting out of the hood. You know what I'm saying? But the other part was,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that if you've not paid attention to, and many people haven't, you don't hear about so much gang violence anymore. You know, and even when it was in the midst of it, I always was like, yo, this shit is the stupidest thing in the world. Y'all fighting over blocks. There's so much money out there to be made. What you fighting for? You stay over where you at. I'm going to stay over where I'm at. We good. You know what I'm saying? I may need to cross your territory sooner or later. I pay my toll. I keep it moving. You going to come across my territory somewhere. You pay your toll. You keep it moving. Everybody wins. What y'all fighting for? Now, when gentrification comes about and now the hood start to shrink, and that part. But when it wasn't that situation, what y'all fighting for? Greed? Because that's all it was greed. But there's more. But you got more homies in the graveyard. You got more homies serving life in prison than you got on the street over a couple of dollars, dog, for real? Wasn't nobody broke back in the day when they was out there hustling. Nobody was broke back in the day when they was out there. These young kids is broke, but back in the day, there nobody broke when they was on the street. Nobody. If you was broke in them streets, you was stupid, dog, because it was too much money to be made back in the day. So I've heard. I'm just saying. These are things I ain't never done nothing like that, but I've heard some things. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to understand that this isn't a me thing. This isn't a you thing. This is a we thing, a us thing. And if we get to that point, if we can really start listening to one another, hearing one another, and making the necessary changes or moves to be impactful to and for one another, we will be in a much better situation. But we are in a situation where folk are so focused on them. And if it doesn't make sense to them in this moment, it doesn't make sense at all. It's dumb, it's stupid, you crazy, so on and so forth. Versus, okay, look, I may need to make this play right now, but three plays from now, this little play for you is going to pay off huge dividends for us. And when I say us, I'm talking about me. So let me go ahead and make this little play for you, and I'm going to win three moves later for us. But it's really going to be for me. And, you know, I don't even think that people understand that degree of logic. You know what I'm saying? Because when you win for the team, you can take full credit. Like, yeah, that's all about me. Yes, you can. So it can be all about you. In the long run, but in the short, you got to make that, it got to be about y'all. It has to be about y'all. You and whomever that other person is. He, she, them, it, I don't know. Because, you know, there's so many things going on. Speaking of which, I'm sorry, I got to divert for a second. So I did see The Woman King. Brother Barry, have you seen it yet?
I'm going to see it today.
Okay. Sister Rashi, have you seen it yet?
I want to take my daughter and son, and so that means we have to find a babysitter for
a babysitter.
Nana.
Okay. All right. Well, then we won't broach that subject. But when you all see it, we'll come back to it and we'll have a discussion. But again, the basic premise, I want to leave everybody with this. Real talk, man. we got to put the egos down. There's you know, Shaq says about Kobe. He said, "Hey, Kobe, there's no I in team." He said, "Yeah, but there's a me in that motherfucker." You know what I'm saying? It's like, just like, okay, and there isn't. You know what I'm saying? There is no. If your focus is on individual recognition in a team sport, you're doing the wrong thing. You're at the wrong spot, for real, because that's not what it's about. It's a team sport. I don't care. I've said this on the show before. You can have more touchdowns than anybody on the other team. You can have more sacks than anybody on the other team. Your team doesn't win. Who remembers? Who remembers? If you asked me 2 years ago who played in the Super Bowl, I can't tell you. But if you asked me 2 years ago who won the Super Bowl, I can tell you. I can tell you who won.
Well, Lee,
I don't remember who the hell they played.
Can I throw a curveball into the conversation about Ime Udoka? And I saw this online last night, and a brother made this analogy, and I want to share this with y'all. He said, you had to know after Brett Favre, that story came out.
Oh, yes.
The next
Absolutely.
Thing was going to happen, that a black man was going to get thrown under the bus. And he said, you can just go back to Harvey Weinstein. He said, right after Harvey Weinstein got outed, then you heard about Bill Cosby. Then you heard about R. Kelly. And you divert the conversation.
The dialogue,
you started
yep.
hearing less about Harvey Weinstein, and you start hearing more and more about Russell Simmons and Tavis Smiley and all of these brothers, because, hey, it's easier to talk about them. Notice they're all in the same field, if you will, or genre, right? Movies, entertainment, and then you out them, and then that covers it up. Brett Favre, that story was momentary. Look how long the story went with Michael Vick in Dogs. Here's a man, Brett Favre, who made over $150 million playing football, who took $5 million, who are the poorest of the country, are right there inside of
Mississippi,
and we tend to care about someone's marital affairs versus the people who are on welfare, meaning that they need either some food assistance, health care assistance, daycare assistance, et cetera, compared to this millionaire who cheated on his millionaire wife with probably another six-figure making a staff member, right? These people, they may need some therapy. They may need some divorce attorneys. They may need some lawyers to figure out how they're going to settle their differences of their estate. However, we're no longer talking about Brett Favre. We're no longer even talking about the governor or the former governor of Mississippi. And, oh, let me add this to it. We're no longer talking about that was actually a federal crime and not a state crime when you defraud welfare at that amount. And so look at how we start talking among ourselves about the morality, right? The morality of Udoka, the morality of whatever Nia Long is or isn't doing. However, Brett Favre is able to sit in his estate down in Hattiesburg, and I drove past that estate, man. It's a nice estate, by the way, when I used to live in Hattiesburg. He's able to sit there, and he doesn't have to have those bullets coming towards him this week. He got cover by this story that dropped all of a sudden, even though, Brother Lee, the Celtics knew about this relationship back in July.
Coincidence or what? Yeah, man. So, we got to talk about Trump. So, this has been a great week for Trump. Yeah, I'm lying. So Wednesday, the state of New York sued Trump Tuesday, the special judge master, the special master, kicked him, his legal team in the nads. So, yeah, the brother didn't had a really good week. So let's start on Tuesday. So Tuesday, they hold the first trial. I'm sorry, the first, yeah, no trial, whatever, with his team. And you know, the team is like, well, look, these forms and these documents have been declassified. So you know, the special judge master said, okay, well, that's cool. Show me where you declassified it at. And the team goes, well, yeah, well, we can't show you that because, you know, that would hurt our case later on. It's like, well, what you mean? Well, yeah, you know, we just can't do that because, you know, that might hurt us later on. It's like, okay, so you're telling me that he declassified this information, but you're not telling me where he went through the proper channels to declassify it. Yeah, okay, well, look, this is what I'm going to do, player. I'm going to accept that for now, but let me tell you this. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. That was the biggest bombshell ever. My man was saying, just in case you missed it, you didn't understand where he was going. He says, okay, for the moment, I'm going to take you at your word. But there's going to come a point where your word will no longer be true or valid. I'm going to need to see how he went through the channel of declassifying this material. Because if you cannot show me that it was not properly done, and I have to side with the government that these documents should not have been in his possession because he was no longer in position to make it so. He was no longer in position to have say as to the status of these documents. And if he was not in position, i.e. the President of the United States of America, to make these documents, and he held them against the will of the people. And if he did that, then he, as a citizen, because at that point he was a citizen, no longer the president, will be held accountable. Capisce? That's what he just said. I'm wondering how this is going to play out. Someone asked me yesterday, like, yo, do you think he's going to be tried and convicted? This may be his conviction because this is not political. This is not a witch hunt. This is clearly a situation as to whether he did or did not do something. And the question is, if he did it or did not do it, was he empowered at that time to do so? And if he was not, then he overstepped his boundaries. And that overstepping has real consequences. So this may well, very well be his undoing, without a doubt. Brother Barry?
Well, ding dong, the witch is dead, right? That's what we're saying. But, you know, white folks don't like to convict white folks. And that's one thing I will say about these presidents. They almost got this unspoken rule because I don't care how much we talk about Trump, Bush should still be in jail, in my opinion, for the war in Iraq. And I know we talk about Trump as if he's just the worst ever, but I still have to look at Afghanistan and Iraq, well, Iraq especially, and say this president, you know, he's not the first one to go afoul of the law. With that being said,
right,
I could see him being the non-testicular fortitude guy, copping a plea. To avoid jail time. That's what I could see. And it all depends on how tough that judge in New York is. But I give the New York district, I give them credit. They have been the toughest on Trump. They have been the toughest on Trump. So I want to give them their props because they stood tall through it all. And they said they were going to get him, and it looks like they're keeping their word. And this is a different prosecutor, by the way. That's the other thing I like about this. It's a different prosecutor. So it's not like he can say, well, hey, that one prosecutor said 5 years ago they were going to get me and they've had a vendetta. No, this is a different prosecutor in New York that's taking this on. And so I think that they have a good shot. You know, I bet dollars to donuts that she's going to go through with it. But, you know, let's see where it goes. How about you, Rashi? How you feel about it?
She dropped. She'll come back in a second. I know she will. But,
okay.
You know, I don't disagree with you as far as the conviction rate. And, I one of the things that the boy has been smart about is allegiances. He has allied himself with some powerful people over time. And the tax cut that they made, the Republicans, that is, I say they, definitely helped his situation there, because some people will forever be indebted to him for that. The judges that he put on the courts over time have definitely let me not assume that. Let me say that they have been in position to further some people's interests that have a whole lot of money. I think that's the most politically correct way to say that one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty sure some other folks are also feeling a certain kind of way about the prospect of another run of Trump in 2024. And they are not trying to douse that chance because – you know, it proved well to them and for them the last go around. Why would it not garner even a bigger harvest or just as good of a harvest the next go around if he were so to win? So I think that a lot of people are tied to this wagon because it does well for them. We'll see what actually happens. I am definitely looking forward to how the special magistrate really does perform his duty. Because, you know, this cat was appointed by Reagan. You know, he's been around for a minute. You know what I'm saying? He's been around for a minute. So you can't go back and again, you know, start hitting them over the head with, oh, well, this is this is just a Democrat. No. He was appointed by a Republican, though. So that's one of the go tos they can't pull out. But what will they say is the curious thing. And again, the other front is and was the lawsuit by the state of New York. Now that is being taken up. Leticia is doing her thing, but there's a statute in New York, Executive Law 63, Section 12, which they are using to go against Trump. Now, they've used the statute to go up against him before. Trump University and the Trump Foundation, which both times he's lost. And he had to forfeit money to settle the lawsuits, right? So she leveraged this against them this time around as well. It ain't looking good for your boy. I'm just saying, it's just not. Like, they have been combing his records, his financial records, for a while. And for them to put this case together and use the statute, I'm going to lean that they have a very good chance of outing this cat and you know, it hitting his pockets directly, because they're accusing him of bloating the valuation of his assets and bloating the valuation of himself in order to leverage that against financial institutions for him to borrow money. You know what I'm saying? Lending institutions for him to get mortgages, so on and so forth. So, again, this is just not looking good for your boy. He has already proven to be one who's not the most honest. I should say that because that's what it is, the most honest. And this is looking like another situation where, once again, he's going to be called out. Now, does it matter? That's really the question. And so for me, the lawsuit in New York is more about hitting his pocket. The special master, though, could really derail his political career. Because you can push back the lawsuit in New York. You can stall. You can ask for extension after extension. So you can push that one after the election. The special master made clear, for the most part, that he's looking to wrap this up in October, mid-late October. That's before the midterms. That's this year. So whatever he decides could not only impact the midterm election in 2022, this year, November, this year, it could also have a huge impact in the shaping of the field for 2024. Because a lot of people, in my personal opinion, are sitting on the sidelines waiting for the shoe to drop with this cat before they start talking about their interest in running for the presidency. I don't think Mike Pence is going to do it because he still has the stench of Trump on him. He still has the stench of the January 6th insurrection. He still has the shookness of someone whom the rioters were coming to kill. I don't think he has it in him to step out and try to be the president, because if he is, I think he's going to have to go even further right, to be honest with you.
Lee, you don't think we're going to give old Booty Cheeks a chance?
You talking about the transportation secretary?
Talking about Pete.
Buttigieg.
The former mayor of my hometown.
Right, and now the transportation secretary of the United States. No.
They will not give him that shot because he has so much dirt from South Bend that if he ran, the Republicans would bury him.
Right.
Pete is able to play this gay politician now. But, the story has yet to be told nationally on how Pete came out of the closet and why he came out of the closet. And it was a brother who was a sheriff, who was a police chief, who had some racist tapes of cops saying things about African-American citizens and criminals, et cetera, that they were caught on camera as well as on tape saying. And this police chief fired those cops. Well, in order to get the job back, Pete at that time, no one knew he was gay, but the police knew he was gay, and they were going to out him. So to save himself from being outed, he fired the black police chief. And then the very next week, guess what he came out and did? I'm gay, everybody. All right, those cops got back on the force, and then he came out of the closet to let everybody know he was gay. So Pete is not as courageous as people think he is. And, you can just check the town hall in South Bend on CNN when he was trying to make his presidential run and listen to the people.
Okay. Well, I don't care who you fucking, the question is, who can you do the job? Like, honestly. And if you can do the job, then do the job. Yeah. But let's be clear and let's be honest. You put Buttigieg on the ticket at the head of the ticket, and you try to run him through the South, yeah, that ain't going to work. It's not going to work. And the way the country is going, the South is constantly growing. The North is losing people. South is growing. You know, people who choose to retire, they don't stay up north more often than not. They move down south. That's why the southern states are getting more and more electoral college votes, so on and so forth. It's another reason, though, that people want to move away from the electoral college. You know what I'm saying? Because the popular vote would be the popular vote no matter where it comes from. It's all about the amount of people that can vote. You know what I mean? So, no, I don't foresee that. But I was speaking solely on the Republican side. I think there's some governors out there that are chomping at the bit. You know, your boy DeSantis, obviously. But, you know, he's trying to play this Trump loyalty card. You know what I mean? Although Abbott, don't sleep on Abbott. I think Abbott would probably be the first one to declare. I really do, because he it's all about Texas. So I think Abbott would be the first one to declare. And then, you know, while they have their problems, you know, DeSantis currently is under investigation by a sheriff in Texas because somehow or another he put funds toward a flight to send migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. Y'all, I don't get it, y'all. I mean, seriously. Okay, migrants
that
are
be
a problem.
That should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Migrants are a problem.
Lee, why isn't that federal?
How? Again, right now, it's local. The sheriff opened up the investigation locally. I would love to see if and when the feds jump on this, to be honest with you. But right now, it's local. So we'll see.
Okay.
But my
okay.
question
right,
is,
cause
what
the hell story, I was like, why is
the
that
governor for? Right. But what the hell does the governor of Florida have to do with anything that that happens in the state of Texas? The people in Florida should be up in arms. Like, so you sent money that could have very well been used in our state to prove a point for some fools that's in Texas? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll show your ass at the ballot box. You know what I mean? We'll show your ass at the ballot box. You know what I'm saying? So right now the setup is Chris and DeSantis. And Chris used to be a Republican. We all remember that. Now is a Democrat and running against DeSantis in Florida. I talked to my brother 2 days ago. I said, who would you rather have, Chris or DeSantis? And he says, well, DeSantis, you know. But, bro, you got to remember, I'm a Republican. I thought, well, yeah, I dig that. But that doesn't mean you're a fool. Mama didn't raise us to be no fools, man. You know what I mean? So I asked you the same question. He's like, well, I'm going to toe the party line. I said, okay, I respect that, and I let it be. But I don't know how I even feel about Charlie Crist coming back to power in any way, shape, or form. You know what I'm saying? Because my mindset is, you know, he flipped from one to the other. Is he the Trojan horse where, okay, well, I got elected as a Democrat, but as soon as he gets back in office, well, I'm a Republican again. You dig where I'm coming from? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
right. That
100%.
That whoop-de-woo and that swoop-de-swoo. I ain't feeling that one. You know what I'm saying? So,
Well, let's be honest, Lee. This is the one thing that's not talked about when it comes to Democrat, Republican a lot, when it comes to who's what, where they've been, or what have you, is that Blue Dog Democrats usually vote against party interest.
Yeah.
And when you flip, even though it comes off like, yeah, I joined your side, I'm on your team. Are you really?
Right.
Blue Dogs usually are the thorn in the side of most progressive policies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to say if you get a Chris, if he's a team player, what kind of team player would he turn out and be, right? So I get exactly where you're coming from, and I get where I could also understand, in some regards, your brother too, not necessarily party lines, but also,
right,
is this person really who he says he is?
Says he is, right.
You know?
Right, right.
You know, so that's tough. The other question is, will Joe make it for another run?
Now that's the side that I think we need to hold on to and have on a different day. And I tell you why, because I think that's going to be a very robust discussion. Not only is his health there in general, obviously his mental health, but is he the right person to continue on for another 4 years? And if he so happens to succumb, be it physically or mentally, who is up next? Do you really want Kamala?
Ooh, don't do it, Lee. By election or default?
I'm just saying, I never liked to ask in the beginning. I kept it clear. I didn't think that he should have ran.
No checks and pearls?
That's it. I always said that he should have ran with Beto. And I stick with that. I think that that would have brought Texas further along to the blue side. And you need Texas to go blue. Texas is growing, man. Everybody is running to Texas from California. You need Texas to go blue. I know Beto had his shortcomings, but I think he would have been a better person to put in the seat. To listen, learn, and eventually, if he panned out, lead. But you need Texas to go blue, and there's nobody there that's bringing Texas along. You need an anti-Abbott. And when you can constantly send the vice president of the United States back to his home state, killing the game. You killing the game. No matter what Abbott does, the next thing you do is send the vice president in. Yeah, this little governor guy, I'm the VP of this nation. You killing the game.
So you're trying to, you're asking the Dems. You're asking the Dems to play 3D chess. But
I'm asking
say
the Dems to play like the Republicans.
3D chess. It's in three dimensions.
Yeah.
They're playing all phases. I would say this about Trump. The only thing that I worry about Trump, and I know it's like, oh, man, he's about, you know, the witch is dead. You know, I said that line. The only thing that I worry, Brother Lee, is if the ball gets dropped, he somehow, some way, weasels out all of this. Do you know what that does for the next upcoming election for him and his group of crazies?
That, man, look, that puts them on a trajectory that they feel that they are really unstoppable. That's what it does. That's what it does. It puts them on that, you know. Can't nobody beat us. Can't nobody whoop us.
You know, fellas,
no matter what you throw at us, we're going to win.
We haven't said even one lady's name. You all haven't mentioned one woman's name. Do you know that?
Yes,
there's no
did.
Woman.
We said Kamala.
Who is Kamala? Oh, you're talking about the one you couldn't stand and would hope we would never to deal with. Okay.
Now,
well, okay, let me say this better. Could you mention one as a potential as we did, say, Beto or the others?
On the Republican side, it would be Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley's been posturing herself for some time to make a presidential run. But again,
she's
sworn allegiance to Trump.
Right,
but she's sworn allegiance to Trump, so she's sitting, waiting, trying to figure out what's going on. On the Democratic side, as far as a lady that has postured herself, I really can't think of one, to be honest with you. I think too many people are afraid to fall into the Hillary Clinton trap. What they're not paying attention to is and was Hillary Clinton was just not a good candidate. She just wasn't. She was not a good candidate. She wasn't. She had too much baggage, not only surrounding her husband, but also surrounding herself. You know, think about it what you may. You call me male chauvinistic, whatever. She dressed like an old-ass lady. Those onesie outfits she was wearing, she did not project youthfulness. She did not project fresh ideas. She looked like a throwback to back in the day, and the country needed to move in a different direction. And visuals matter. Visuals matter. I'm being honest with you. She had so many damn jumpers. It was ridiculous. I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, y'all don't have a pantsuit for this lady? Like, you don't have anything else to pull out to give her that look like she's about to handle business. She is invigorating. She's fresh. Her mind is tight, blah, blah, blah. They dressed her like a old grandmother, constantly. An old grandmother at a country club. That's what she looked like. Tell me where I'm wrong. Am I lying? Rashi, did you not see
the same thing? I mean, they found her in her athletic wear. She's a runner. She's a soul.
When?
I mean, yeah, come on.
No, I'm talking about Hillary. I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. When they put her out front and center,
sorry about
they
that.
Dressed
I
her
we
like, it's okay.
They
dressed her like an old ass grandma.
She is
an
old ass. Well, she got
it. But they dressed her like an old ass grandma.
That's her respect from being like cheated on. That's her whole demographic. You're gonna get old, you know, and they're not gonna respect. You know, your husband's gonna cheat, but you still got power, and you're ready to handle the business of the world. You ain't out here trying to be cute. You out here trying to handle the business so your great grandchildren have a nation.
Okay, but listen, it's not about being cute. It's about projecting youthfulness and new ideas. That's what it's about. And she did not look like
young and girl don't equal intelligence. I mean, you got to get old before you get your respect as a woman. You don't understand the dynamics of female maturity. You got to either be extremely talented in some individual skill or an heiress maybe. She can get her props even while young. Everybody else got a corner to market on something in there. While they're growing, you know?
Okay.
So you just got to, you got to understand how it works for women to get power. It's a time differential that some men don't have to, undertow.
Okay.
Well, and I also felt like Hillary, the thing was, coming in behind Obama, who kind of had the infrastructure of what he had in the fight with them, I don't think that they ever got over that election. And so I don't think that when you make enemies with the sitting leader of the party, you know, they can tell you that they forgave, and they can say it's all about Trump, but people don't go hard for you because they remember all the dirty things that you said as well. So I think that that didn't sit well for her. The other side of it, too, is, and I don't care who it is running at this moment, I think the Democrats have kind of ran out of ideas because, let's be real, the idea of Trump was bad, that's not good enough to get votes. Like, you can't just run on, and that's the thing, Hillary, she wasn't running on what she would do besides stop Trump from becoming president. And that's not, in presidential campaigns, that's not good enough. You got to have, like, your to-do list or what you're going to do has to be substantial compared to just your opponent. Yes, you know, they're going to get in. They're going to say, you know, what they're going, you know, how what their opponent's going to be like. But you also have to say, all right, well, if I get in, this is what I'm going to do as president.
I'm going to do. Right.
You know, right. This is how I'm going to lead the country forward. Here's my infrastructure bill. Here's my economic package. Here's my health care plan. Here's what I'm going to do for self, you know, for national security. You got to run this out like futuristic in ways that honestly, sometimes with Bush and Trump, I can only say those two more than any other candidates in the past, they have been almost seen as Darth Vader. And you can't whoop Darth Vader by saying he's a bad guy because the truth of the matter is half of the country usually elect these guys. So you're going to have to give something more than they're just bad. And so I think that's where the struggle is. Now, can I see some woman candidates on either side? Not on a Republican side, because I feel like they normally show their hands on who they're propping. No, I don't think they'll go with Nikki because Nikki's a flake, and they know she's a flake. And so they want, and it's a old, and it's the old boys club. Like they really are about keeping it about the men. They'll use it for a prop for anything else, but no, not her. The Democrats, I could see a couple of women possibly running, but I don't see them winning. Of course, Joe is the president. The other side of it is Kamala would be the one that everybody would give grace to, because she's the VP. And let's be honest, her poll numbers are not high. She doesn't have any policy or legislation where she's spearheading or she's the face of. And I honestly believe it's that way, to get to Rashi's point. So it does not seem that a woman is more capable of leading more so than the sitting president. And so she's kind of been – the crazy uncle, you know, that crazy uncle we all got that they put in the back room and they don't let out, except, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving. That's kind of how they're treating her as VP.
She, again, I understand the VP is usually quiet. That's their role, just to keep the ship calm. You know what I'm saying? Steady, go places where the president can't go. It's more of a face job than anything, right? It's in that second term
usually,
the president gets the second term. It's in that second term the president gets the second term that the VP is more put out on in front, because it's like, okay, well, let's continue this on for next term. So if you want to run, then I'm going to put you in front. I'll let you make the big announcements as far as the bills and blah, 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 blah. I'll more or less play the background unless it's something super duper important, then I'll come out by the phone, as we saw with Joe. But we heard Joe's voice in the first term. We saw Joe in the first term. Where in the hell is Kamala? Where is she? Outside of her casting that decisive vote in the Senate every now and again, what has she done? What is her platform? Where's she been? Did she take a diplomatic trip somewhere? Was she front and center for any legislative victories and signings? Where is she? These are my problems with her. She has become more of a liability than an asset. Is she out there with Stacey? She ain't out there with Stacey. Stacey, you don't want her ass near her. You need to win Georgia. You need to win Georgia. And Stacey like, nah, I'm good. Nah, we good. Stay your ass away from me. I'm good. That's how much Stacey
But Brother Lee, don't you think while she is playing the role of vice president that she could develop those things? That's the thing that I worry about. Because I'm like,
it's almost year three, though. It's almost year three when
Well, that's my point, brother. That's what's kind of scary about it all. And let me make this other point. Because in our community right now, we talk a lot about male patriarchal leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the demands from women asking, where's Kamala? But I think that Joe got a lot of the woman vote because of Kamala. So to ask where she's at, I don't think that's, you know, above the beneath the pale. That should be a question. Where is she at?
Right.
She was used to get on a ticket to get support from women. They needed to get black women to vote because white women were voting for Trump. But where is Kamala? And you know, and why aren't they using her voice? And I think that's a question that should be asked repeatedly.
Well, I can tell you what happened with black women. We know that she's a part of that prison industrial complex pipeline that helped, you know, get our sons, you know, Mac time and all that, you know, trying to fight the 85%, make it 100%. You know, she was a part of that. Imprison them all, you know, put them in the jail, figure it out later. And so... Especially where she was in power. So black women, while we own her, and she is a sore roar for some, we really don't hear her, us in her voice. She don't even speak to us as much as Michelle Obama did as the first lady. So I don't. But what I want to know, what about those other Asian ladies? She's an Asian lady. Where's the? This is the time for Asian ladies to be like, fuck yeah, where's my mentor? You know?
Yeah, because she damn sure ain't claiming black. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe that's where she's at, though. Maybe she's back in the cut with them trying to do something or another. You know, I don't know. But, again, my point is, we haven't heard her voice. You know what I mean? We haven't heard her voice. We ain't really seen her. So that's my disappointment. Period.
And I think as her role as VP, she should have initiatives or things that she is saying, hey, this is me right here. These are the things that my initiatives that I'm spearheading. And whether we say that, you know, she's not black now, that's not what we were saying when we were heading to the polls for Joe, though. And so to me, she's already in. Make yourself useful, right? If this is about girl power, okay, girl, show up. You know, show that you're just not, you know. I mean, just show up and do something besides just, you know, holding the pom-poms. Get in the game, right? That, to me, I don't think that that's a heavy ask. I mean, I'm only saying this, Rashi, because you put it on Lee, and you said name some women. And politics is very trendy. And it's trendy into the aspect of if Kamala does not use her power as the first female VP of this country, then that's going to be hard for women to get back in that position. Because they're going to say, okay, so they had Kamala. What did she do?
Well, I mean, I'm a believer that she's doing some under the key. She's propping that motherfucker. You know, she's some, you know, Weekend at Bernie's? You seen that movie Weekend at Bernie's when they play the music, The Dead Man Can Dance? I'm telling you, if that's a dead man and she's the music playing up under there somewhere, allowing that skeleton bone skin bag to handle their business and even talk coherently.
I saw the Kardashian sex tape too. All right, they said that's how she came to fame. So I don't know. So I don't know what she's doing behind the scenes. I'm hoping that, you know, hey, you know
moving
she ain't
on.
A lot
okay,
of happy
well,
happening in the White House.
Woof, Lord have mercy.
You know. Listen.
Would you listen to a Liz Cheney ballad? Listen to an Elizabeth Warren ballad?
No. Elizabeth,
she's too phony, too.
Would you listen
Cheney, yes. Warren, no.
Would you listen to a Stacey Abrams ballad?
Who?
I would entertain Stacey Abrams.
Can we punch people through the airwaves yet?
Stacey, yes, I would entertain that. I would not entertain Elizabeth Warren. She has the same thing, though. You know, again, she does not project the type of energy to lead the country forward. She doesn't project that. And, Stacey, yes. Her, no. Liz Cheney, yeah. I could listen to that. But again, I disagree with Thomas. I think Haley's going to do it, man. Honestly, if they knock Trump out the box, Republicans are going to come out the woodwork like roaches, dog, in the hood. I promise you, it's going to be so many of them jokers clamoring to get on. It's going to be ridiculous. The stage's like 20 of them last time, man. Messing around with 35. Real talk, it's going to be crazy.
What you gonna do with your Marjorie Taylor Greene ballad is what I want to know.
Yeah, no, she ain't. She's a fad. She's a. She really is. She's a fag. You know.
But
if she gets reelected,
that's what they said about Sarah Palin. Now, so come on.
And she was.
You can get a fag all the way to the top.
But she didn't get all the way to the top.
Like
she was on the. Go ahead.
She was on the ballot. I just feel like so. Here's the thing that I feel. I just don't think that either party, honestly, has done a good enough job of really propping up the next crop of leaders, and part of it is because the boomers are on their way out, and boomers don't see nobody but boomers, and we have to make that assessment.
And they don't
want to
see nobody
about that, and that's why we have old Trump and we have old Joe, and then we have old ass Bernie, right? These are the names that we got in the wing, right? We're talking about this country and moving forward. We're talking about people that's going to be dead within the next 5 years, and we normally. You would see young on both sides. And then the other side of it, too, is the polarization of politics right now. It's kind of hard to see someone who is charismatic to bring people together if they don't agree with their, you know, with their party. You know, there's not a lot of charismatic people that could bring everybody together where the other aisle will say, I don't like the Republicans, but I can vote for him. I don't like the Democrats, but, you know, I can vote for them. So there is a vacuum. With that being said, 2 years to go. It's 2 years to go. There could possibly be ways that Stacey Abrams, if she finds something to hang her hat on, that she could be, you know, on that ballot. Same thing with the other side as well. You know, Haley, she's going to come up with something, Brother Lee. She has to come up with something besides just being on Meet the Press or being on, you know, the news shows on Sunday.
Well, you know,
she's
going
to have to come
the,
up with something positive.
She was our she was appointed to the UN. So, you know, she has the international platform at this point. You know what I'm saying? So she her that's not the word I'm looking for. Her profile, that's the word, has been truly elevated. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think funding would be an issue for her, because if she's not finding it within the shores or borders of the United States, she could also always look abroad for it. That she's from South Carolina. She governed the state of South Carolina. So she has that Southern thing going for her. She's a female. She has that going for her. She's white. She has that going for her. She checks off a lot of boxes, dog. She checks off a lot of boxes. I'm just saying, don't sleep on her. Don't sleep
but
on
you
her.
Gotta, but
she will mess
but
around
her
and,
party,
and do it.
But remember, her party is a battle royale. And if you can't cuss like a sailor, and if you can't insult like a stand-up comedian, you ain't making it out.
Right. Well, we got a minute left. We have a minute left in the show, and want to wrap up. Rasha, you got anything to say in closing?
Yes, I do. These children have been in school 30 days. 30 days. So it's legit now to ask the child around you what they learned. If you are around a child that is within school age, and you are sending them to another state-funded agent to learn something every 5 out of 7 days, it is now legitimate for you to ask them, what do you know? Please, give them a chance to tell you. It will be tedious, yes, but it is necessary to close the triangle of responsibility and let them know that not only are you watching, you listen.
Brother Barry?
Hey, I just want to say my app, 12 Watch, I just found out from my developer. We got 2 weeks to go before we launch locally in the Twin Cities. We'll be looking to partner out throughout the country with other organizations to make sure that we get fair and good policing inside of our communities nationwide. 12 Watch, T-W-E-L-V-E Watch. Look us up on Facebook. We'll be having our website up soon.
All right, well, look, fam, that's all our time. Actually, we went a little over. Until next time, as we always say about this time, peace. We love you and the damn thing you're doing.